About the cross, when we talk about Jesus and all the stuff we talked about this morning, we come to this place in the scripture. And I begin to, again, the way my mind works, if you were doing this, you're free to do it your way, but this is how I work. I look at things chronologically today, and I thought the events from the birth to the resurrection. I mentioned that this morning. You know, we're living in a very, first of all, we're in an atheistic society. Those that don't believe in God. And then we live in what we know as what? Agnostic society. I remember I worked at, I think it was Pepsi during the time, and there was this man that worked at the post office. And I don't know how the conversation came up. I don't have a clue. I was doing my thing and he was doing his. He worked at the post office and I worked at Pepsi, and I was filling up the drink machine in the break room at the post office, and I'd see him periodically, and every now and then the subject about Christ would come up, that Jesus would come up. So he told me one day, he said, "I'm not an atheist. I'm just kindly agnostic." I don't know if you have or not. Because you let somebody get in trouble enough, you let their body get in enough pain, and you let life get bad enough, they ain't going to call Ghostbusters. Who you going to call? They're going to call somebody that knows how to pray and get a hold of God. So we think about the scripture, and we think about the resurrection. And if that was all there was to it, it would probably be pretty good just right there, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Jesus is resurrecting. We glorify God, and I'll get into that in a minute. He come out of the tomb and we celebrate, and we have Easter, hallelujah. I don't celebrate bunnies or eggs. I celebrate Jesus, the resurrected Savior. You say, "Man, your calendar's messed up. You're talking about Easter on the last Sunday night before we go into the birth of Jesus, the most sacred time." Let me tell you something. As I told you this morning, if we left little baby Jesus in a manger, we would all still be in a heap of trouble. Because there would be no proofs that Jesus was exactly who Jesus said that he was. Now, I got Miss Jan up there, so I'm going to work her out here. We're going to go to Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to read about old Theophilus. He is the one that Luke was writing to. There's his name right there. He's the one that Luke was writing this letter to. Luke was the one of the eyewitnesses that actually seen Christ himself. They'll get it there in a minute. I'm just glad I can see it. And it says there as you open up in Acts chapter 1, you've got your Bible. It's always good to bring your Bible. And again, this is a writing that Luke was writing to this man by the name of Theophilus. And it was a treaty. It was the events that took place. And this is a little bit of a difficult word, this treatise. The form of treatise I have made, O Theophilus. I've written this. It was said at one time, maybe Luke and Acts was a combination of one writing, but we see that the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It is the events of the Apostles once the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and what the Apostles actually did, and they went about, and what they went about doing. Well, this is Theophilus. It says all that Jesus began both to do. That's very important because he's not a dead Jesus. I don't care what hell says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care how many times the devil's whispered in your ear. It's all a big joke. That's what the devil does. You can look at the devil this evening and say, devil, you can't do anything with this. Because this is what Jesus did. Now, again, when you look at the book of Acts, it is a reading that carries forth of what Jesus actually did after the resurrection. Amen? So this is why I'm preaching this evening, because I don't know about you, but it got all up in my spirit that Jesus is not a dead-end street. Jesus is a place to find joy, and Jesus is a place to find peace, and Jesus is a place to find your eternal strength and your eternal life. The Bible says that it's in Him that I live, it's in Him that I move, and it's in Him that I even have my very existence. I have my being. So this says to Theophilus from Luke, everything that Jesus began both to do. So keep this in mind. After the resurrection, now think about this. Jesus, even though He went to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus actually told them, and it was a challenge to them at the time, where that the Pharisee that was there and those that was there at that time, when Jesus was talking to them at that time, and I'm going to turn there in a minute, said, and let me just paraphrase it and then we'll get to it. He said, hang around long enough and you're going to know that everything that I'm telling you is the truth. Isn't it amazing how people can fight the church? Isn't it amazing how people can kick, as Paul did, against the pricks, if you will? You can buck God, if you will. You can kick back against God. Isn't it amazing, once you have an encounter with Jesus, that everything in your life that you absolutely fought against, you're willing to fight for? Hello, somebody. So Jesus began to do this and to teach. Verse number 2, let's read it. And He says, until the day in which He was taken up. That's good, because He's not here. So He was taken up. And again, what are you talking about this evening, Pastor? I'm talking about, and maybe not necessarily the chronological events that took place after Jesus' birth, his crucifixion, and the putting Him in the tomb, and the things that happened when Jesus was put in the tomb. Hey, guys, He didn't stay in the tomb. We know that. And there was people that became the eyewitnesses of Jesus. That is so amazing to me, because people today will look at you, these people that are atheists or agnostics, and there's not really any real atheist, and you know, think about that. But when you think about the fact that Jesus did things, there was those that saw what Jesus did after Jesus came forth out of the grave. So until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Again, there's scripture backing that up. Verse 3. I love this. This is where we're getting our main text. Now look at this. Look what happened. To whom also He showed Himself alive. He showed Himself alive. Okay. He showed Himself alive. I thought He was dead. I thought He was crucified. I thought He was in a tomb. What happened? Now, it says, to whom also He showed Himself alive, the apostles, after His passion, by many infallible proofs. Well, that's a good word. Infallible proofs. They were non-argumentative. Non-argumentative. They could not argue with the fact that Jesus did what Jesus said that He was going to do. There are those today that will look at you. There are those today that will say, how do you know Jesus is real? How do you know that what you're doing, you're not just wasting your time? I don't know if my mama watches all the time. She watches, and I remember one time me and her was having this conversation. And I said this maybe a couple of weeks ago. Just a conversation that she and I was having, she said, how do we know that there's not other ways to get to where we're supposed to be going? You know, this is before she was a Christian. You know, you think about other cultures and other worlds and other countries, and whether they be Hindu or they be Buddhist or they be Muslims or whatever the case may be. And that was mine and her conversations. And at that time, I was able to say, hey, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is who Jesus says that Jesus is. And we look at that even today because Jesus did exactly what Jesus said that he would do before he was crucified. And he said that by after his passion. And he says, with many infallible proofs being seen of them, 40 days. 40 days, Moses in the wilderness. 40 days, Jesus in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. 40 days is a completeness. It was a wholeness. It was even like a 40 generation, a whole generation, 40 years. And we think about all those things. So Jesus for 40 days was on the earth after his death. Now there are those, when I was reading through commentary, that was able to explain that away because they were talking about the spirit of man that lived after he was dead. And there was these people that were so grieved over the loss of someone that they really believed that they were having some type of intuition, that they really did see somebody, or they like they could hear their voice. Somebody passed away and it's like, I can still hear my mama's voice in my bedroom. I mean, that type of situation. That's not what happened here. It was not something that just somebody conjured up in the back corner somewhere and said, hey, let's go out there and make this story up. There was an infallible, undeniable, unargumentative. There was no way that they could argue the simple fact that for 40 days after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection, that Jesus was seen alive. Is this not awesome? Because you and I today, we don't serve a dead Jesus. We don't serve a statue that's not alive. We don't serve a lump of clay somewhere. We don't serve some pagan on a post or something of that nature, or a Buddha or anything like that. We serve today the resurrected Jesus, and until the church gets that in their spirit, we're not going to go anywhere. We're just like stuck. But I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus is alive. I love the song that I think it was, and I'll get back to this in just a few minutes. I think it was Sandy Patty years ago, or one of those early singers many years ago. And I've done this at many sunrise services and stuff when we had some of those back years ago. And this song that Sandy Patty, I think it's Sandy Patty or Janet Pascal, one of them, that says, was it a morning like this? Was it a morning like this? Hit your pause button there and go to Luke 24. Because we're gonna look at this for just a minute, because I love this. Because in Luke 24, this is what the Bible says. And then I'll pick back up there and move forward in just a few minutes. It says that when in verse number one, it says, now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Not just those that came with the disciples, but others with them. So what did they find? So the Bible says in verse number 2, and they found the stone rolled away. They found the stone rolled away. Anybody could have rolled the stone away. A robber could have rolled the stone away. Somebody that was thinking that they could have gotten something from that particular grave could have rolled that stone away. So that in itself was not necessarily because the individuals, the guards, they tried to make up a story and say that somebody had came and done this. But see, 40 infallible proofs, we have these proofs. So when we think about the proofs, and I am not 40 days, I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm just going to mention them and move on. So first of all, we have heaven's proof, right? Gabriel announced to Joseph about Jesus' birth. Gabriel announced to Mary about Jesus' birth. I don't know this particular angel's name. I have no idea. The Bible don't say it. Could have been Gabriel. I have no idea. He's a messenger angel. I have no idea. There might be other angels beside Gabriel that's messenger angels. But he had a message for those at the tomb. I love this. They found the sepulcher. They found it rolled away. And it says, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what happened? What happened? What happened? The next thing says that they were extremely perplexed in verse number 4. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. I don't know. It could have been Gabriel. Could have been Michael. I don't know. I have no idea. But I like this next thing because heaven's messengers came to earth with an infallible proof that Jesus was who he said he was, and that Jesus did what he said he was going to do, and that Jesus is who he says he was. Again, if we, the church, if myself, if we can just get that in our hearts. That we're not here just singing songs in church. We're not here just to somehow soothe our conscience for the week that we've done the right thing. But we are serving a living Jesus. Not a Jesus that somebody else talks about and we've never experienced him, but a true living Jesus. I know the way gets hard. I know that. Sherry and I know that. The way gets hard. It gets difficult. You get weary. You get worn down. You get worn out. You get tired. You get fatigued. But we serve a living Jesus. We serve a Jesus this evening that is not dead. It's been proven over and over again. People say, how do you know? How do you know? Well, the Bible talks about it. And it says that these two men were stood by them in shining garments. Look at verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, what are you doing here? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Now, I love that verse. I mention it all the time. Why are you coming here in a graveyard looking for the dead, when the dead has already told you, put me in the grave? Let me just give you the scripture for it. And I'm not really going to take a lot of time there to spend a lot of time with it. But he says there in John chapter number 2, is this okay tonight? Because I really didn't know what to preach, and this is what I felt like God told me to come back here and do. Let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, we're going to John. John chapter 2. That's right after Luke. This is what happens over in Luke chapter number 2, over in verse number 19. This is what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. It's amazing because Jesus said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, look at this next imperative word. Dead men don't do nothing. Dead men don't move. Dead men are dead. I've looked at a lot of them, unfortunately, through life. But he said, you go ahead and you kill me, you slay me, you stick aside, you pierce me asunder, you go ahead and do everything you do, and I'll cry, Father, it is finished. And guess what? 3 days later, I will raise it up. Now, I don't know about you, but that's shouting material. Now, Pentecostal churches used to shout you down. Now, they just sort of nod at you. Used to, you'd get an amen. I couldn't buy amen with a quarter. Amen. People say, well, we're listening. I don't buy that. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up. I, and again, I preach the way I feel normally. And I feel this little na-na-na-na-boo-boo coming on. You know what I mean? What do you mean by that? I'm thinking Jesus said, you go ahead and do what you need to do, but I'm going to be the one to get the last word. You just go ahead and do what you need to do, but you wait and see what happens. It's the proof of His resurrection. This is again what they were saying there. And then the Jews, it says, and then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. 46 years. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? They missed the whole point. And He spake of the temple as His body. When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to shout happy, because I know exactly what Jesus said that Jesus would do. And Jesus, again, my friend, He came forth out of the grave. Hallelujah. And the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you in Galilee. And then He said, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. I don't know. And He says, and they remembered His word. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy this Christmas, is to know that 2,000 years ago, oh yeah, the angel Gabriel looked at Joseph and Mary and said, fear not Mary to take, or Joseph, fear not Joseph to take unto thee Mary to be thou espoused wife, your wedded wife, if you will. And God spoke to Mary in her immaculate conception, and in the Magnificat, her soul doth magnify the Lord. I don't know how it's going to happen, but that is within you is conceived of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how all this is going to happen, but I know the one that's going to make it happen. And as the Easter song says, He lives, He lives. Hallelujah, Christ lives today. Give the Lord a praise in the house, if you will. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus prophesied of His resurrection. The tomb was the evidence. The tomb was the evidence. I've got six, and that's number one and number two. The tomb was the evidence. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? The next thing is simply this: His appearance. Jesus' appearance supported the important point that He had conquered death to secure for you and I eternal salvation. When we think about the Scripture over in the book of John, and we look again at John chapter number 20, these are very simple verses that we all know. Thomas was there, and Thomas was another one that these infallible proofs, he had to have the proof. Somebody says he's just old doubting Thomas, and his faith was stretched, and his faith, it was about faith. And I agree with that. I agree with that fully. But Thomas wasn't willing to take just what somebody else said. It's one thing for you to hear somebody else's salvation story, but it's another thing for you to have your own salvation story. Amen. Thank God for the salvation story. Do you have one? Somebody said, well, I don't know really when it happened, but I'm sure it did. Honey, let me tell you something. If you don't know where it happened, and if you don't know when it happened, you need to get a check up from the neck up, because I would question my relationship with God. Now, that's me. I know when it happened. I didn't expect it to happen. I didn't go there for it to happen. But God knew it was getting ready to happen. Somebody says, well, I don't know even why I come to church anymore. I know why I come, because it's an obedience factor to the Word of God, and it's because I want to come and be with Jesus, and I want to learn and grow and fellowship, and I want to be a part of God's family and be what God's doing. Used to hear these guys, and they'd say that the preacher would give an altar call, and they would grip the back of the pew. They would stand there under conviction till the glory fell down. Then I knew without shadow of a doubt that I had to make things. That was me. I was a pew gripper. I knew that something had to change. How many of you know God still changes lives? A changed life is another infallible proof that God is who God says He is. Now again, those of you that may have been here this past week or whenever I mentioned this the last time, you just don't hear too much about people today being, quote unquote, gloriously saved. I mean gloriously saved. Their life changing in such a radical way that their life becomes an infallible proof that Jesus is who Jesus said that Jesus was. That's what happened to Thomas. Because Thomas here, and you look at this in the scripture, and he says this in chapter 20, and then you see this in verses 20, 24, moving forward. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He wasn't there with them. And it says, other disciples therefore said unto him, they were talking with Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Yeah, I bet you have. Oh, Jesus is so good. I just love Jesus so much. Yeah, why is He so good and why do you love Him so much? Why? Because I've had a personal encounter with Him. Some people you meet, some people you shake hands, you get in your car and they're gone and you're gone, you'll never meet them again. Aren't you glad Jesus ain't like that? Because when you meet Jesus, when you have an encounter with Jesus, and I pray even right now on this prior to Christmas service that we would have such an encounter with Him, that it would be such a radical encounter with Him that God would forever impact our lives, that our lives would never be the same because of an encounter with Him. That's what I'm talking about. Thomas was there and he said, we have seen the Lord. And he says, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my fingers into the print of his nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Somebody says, well, that's old doubting Thomas. I got a different twist on that. I know that. Thomas wasn't willing to take anybody else's word for what could have taken place until he saw it with his own eyes. To me, that is a personal encounter with Jesus. Infallible proofs. The angels, heaven made that. Jesus made that. Thomas was there, and then we see this in the scripture in verse number 26. And again he says, and after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas said with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and Jesus said, peace unto them. Now, I know that there are those that's preached this before, and the doors were shut, and the shut door did not even limit Jesus' encounter or coming unto them. And I'm not even to take the time to really talk about that tonight. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know, because I when I read that, it didn't hit me that way earlier. But maybe when you think doors are shut, maybe God's going to show up behind closed doors and still do what He said He would do. And even the individual that He come to see, it's going to be an infallible proof. I have loved ones that need an encounter with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I feel like we all do. Somebody says, is it going to be an earth-shattering situation? Sometimes that's the only kind of situation people understand. Hello, somebody. Every one of us in this room has got a different story of how we came to know the Lord Jesus. This is Thomas's story here in the scripture in John 20, and we see that Jesus came and stood behind. It's amazing to me how Jesus knew what Thomas was thinking or what Thomas had said. My daughter Shannon has a little saying on the door in the bathroom. Behind the commode, it's right here, and it says, what does it say? Be sure to wash your hands. It said, germs and Jesus is everywhere. He's everywhere. He sees it all. He knows it all. He sees our uprising. He sees our downsetting. He knows what you're going through tonight. He knows what I'm going through tonight. And I have to push myself. Sherry and I know. I have to push myself to know this every day. Don't understand it all. Don't understand how it's going to come about. Have no clue. But he's Jesus. Let me let y'all out of here before you go sleep on me. It's getting late. Time changes, I tell you what, it messes up everything. I should be in bed by now. Lord have mercy. Verse 27, the Bible says, as Thomas was there, and he said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand. I don't use that word hither in my talking these days. Come hither. Go there. And thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I love that, don't you? And then Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they believe. In other words, they walk by faith and not by sight. I don't know where you fit into this category, whether you're Thomas that wants to see his side, or Thomas that just going to take it as a grain of salt that he is who he says he is. I think it's a little bit of both myself. So again, we look at this and we see where, again, in John 21, we talk about these infallible proofs. And I don't have the time to actually read all of this. I'm only going to read a couple of things out of the book of John here in verse 24 as Jody comes. You think, really, already? Yeah, already. This is his disciple that testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that these testimonies are true. His testimony is true. And there are, watch this, and there are also many other things. I love that, don't you? There are many other things. How many of you know that God's not limited? God can show up and show you a butterfly. And through that butterfly, flying on a flower in the springtime, God can look at you and say, that's my glory, I'm here. Now, I don't know about you, Dixie. Don't look at clouds and drive. Okay, Sue? Tell her. You can't do that. But some people can look up at the sky and see the awesomeness of God. Dixie ran out of the road and hit a tree one time doing that. Don't do that no more. Don't run out of the road and hit a tree. It's dangerous. Some people can see just the simplest little thing in life and think, you know, that's God. I don't know why it is, but we always look for the great, great big things. But it can be the simple things. Infallible proofs. Has God ever done anything to you? Showed up in a little bitty simple way? Is it okay if I tell a story, a repeat of a story? Is it okay? I know for me, it's always, Brother Russell, it's always just been the simple things. Not necessarily always the great big things. But the simple things, the little things. Despise not the small beginnings. God will speak in a still small voice. Those little bitty things sometimes is the things that gets my attention. Years ago, I was still in Waynesville. We were in a warehouse that was a body shop on the other side of us. We had a little small section of this warehouse, two sections of it. We'd have our children in one side and the sanctuary in the other side. We put 80 people in it, and it was packed out. I mean maxed out, packed out, wasn't it? So we had a service, and we packed it out about every week. We were in one of the worst, roughest places in Waynesville. They called it Hanging Dog. That's where we were. And people would come out of them houses all around us and come to church. And this one man's name, his name was Melvin Smith. Melvin was level-headed. How do I know that? Because backer juice ran out both sides of his mouth. He's a good old boy, good old country boy. Good Baptist preacher. Couldn't read or write. He could tell you about Jesus. Very good. It's a true story. And I walked out of church one night, and the man handed me some money. And you know, greedy preachers, oh, he gave me some money. Woo, what's he giving me? You know the story. I've told you. I went out in the car, and I got in my car, a little old Toyota, 82 Toyota Starlet, little old bitty car. out of gas. I mean out of gas. When I said out of gas, I mean out of gas. I thought, well, at least I got some money. I looked at that money and I thought, what am I going to do with this money? A dollar. He gave me a dollar bill. What am I going to do with this dollar? And I got a dollar's worth of gas. In early 90s, I mean, a dollar's worth of gas would get you a mile or two down the road. It was that, and that's a short version of the story. But it was that $1 bill that showed me that God can use a little bitty simple thing as much as a dollar bill to show you that He knows whatsoever things you have need of. He knows where that tumor is. He knows where it's at. He knows exactly what's going to take place and how to get to it. It's not a mistake. You're not a mistake. You've went through a lot. And I'm not trying to be prophetic here tonight or anything. I just know Sandy's been through a lot. God knows what's going on. And He loves you more than Alan loves you. And I know He loves you a lot. And I don't understand all this. I don't understand COVID. Somebody says, well, it's biological warfare. It may be. I don't know how it all. I don't know. But I know He come out of that tomb. And I know that the Bible says this. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose John was writing, that even the world itself could not even contain the books that should be written. On and on. Infallible proofs. If I had time this evening, I'd take you on another journey. I'm going to paraphrase it real fast. What were other proofs in the scripture? Oh, there's bunches of them. Over and over again. Over and over again. Again, if we had time, and I'm not going to take the time to turn there, I'm only going to tell you what it says. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church about the very thing that I'm talking to you about right now, tonight. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 1 through 8, he talks about that those that saw Jesus for the 40 days after the resurrection, talks about that, and I'm not going to take the time. But Paul was saying he was seen of Peter. He was seen there by the Sea of Galilee. Y'all know that. He was fishing. Jesus was over on the bank. They come over. Jesus begins to make a fish sandwich, a fish breakfast. And all of a sudden, their eyes was enlightened. And they go, oh, my, my, my. He said that He would show up again. Oh, it's the Master. He was seen of James. He was seen of Peter. He was seen of the 12 disciples. He was seen of the 12 apostles. He was seen of 500 brethren at once. It's in there. And then Paul said, but more than anything, He was seen of me. How do you know? How do you know? How do we know that this Jesus that was there in the manger, these infallible proofs at this Christmas time. How do you know? How do I know when we sing, away in a manger, no crib? How do you know? Just a fairy tale. Just something that somebody wrote in an old book sometime. Oh, it's good history, Josephus. But how do you know? And Brenda Rogers says, you got to know when you know her. When you know that you know that you know that you know, Brother West, there ain't nobody going to change what you know. Because He's already proven Himself real. And on that spring morning when I was 18 years old, just a backer chewing redneck, Ford driving pickup truck, cowboy boot. Well, I couldn't afford cowboy boots, but probably tennis shoes with holes in them, to be honest with you. When I went into the Clyde Church of God that morning, I had no idea that I was getting ready to have an encounter with Jesus. Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, and most of all, he was seen of me. Paul had that encounter with him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. God, if God can change me, he can change you or anybody that would give him a willing chance. One of these mornings, you can go back to the book of Acts and read it. It's right there in Acts chapter number 1. The Bible declares, Sister Grubb, that every eye shall see him. Jesus was there again when these angels was there. Proofs. The angels was there. I'm not going to open my Bible back up. It'd take too long. Again, angels knew it. The angel showed up again. And the angel said, why stand ye gazing up into the air? Joanne Dean led the choir so graciously over the years. I love that song. Maybe again one day. This same Jesus who was taken shall come. Oh, glory to God. Every eye shall see him. There'll be no denying that then. Again, when you look into the book of Acts right here, that this same Jesus that you see go away up into the clouds shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. Oh, I know we're still in the flesh. I know that we're still struggling. I know that maybe we still have our doubts every now and then. But there's coming a day as you stand with me tonight that all of those that are looking for Jesus to come. Read a little poem last night. I'm not going to read it tonight. But that poem said, 'twas the night before Jesus came. The message of it was simply this, that nobody was prepared. And nobody was ready. And Jesus come, and they were all left there. Folks, we may not understand it all. We may not be able to theologically put it all in a chronological order or anything of that nature. But I'm going to trust him that he's got it all figured out. He's got it all worked out. All I got to do is trust him. I don't have any control over heaven. I don't have any control over him coming, when he's coming. I have no authority there. Somebody says, you have all authority. I don't have authority over that. When Jesus comes again, Jesus don't even know that. Jesus knows everything. He don't know that. Because that's only, angels don't even know that. That's only in the heart of the Father. But I believe, and this is me, I believe it's going to be soon and very soon we're going to see the King. I believe that with everything within me. I pray that you have a great, great, great week. But you will not have a great week. You will have a miserable week. An absolutely horrible week if you don't know who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. And Jesus can change your life. He can change my life. He can change the life of those that's listening online tonight. But we got to let him. He's shown us proofs all throughout the Scripture over and over and over again. We just got to trust him. So let's trust him tonight. Let's put our faith in him. Father, we love you tonight and we praise you and we thank you, Father God. We thank you that God, that even right now in this room and in this place, God, that we come to the place that we're trusting you with our salvation. You are the captain of our salvation. We thank you, Father God, for the blood of Jesus that washes all my sins away. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that God, that you took the initiative and you done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Father, you died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and you pardoned my transgressions. You, O God, gave us, humanity, a second chance and an opportunity to come and to know you as our Lord and our Savior. And Father, you said in your word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thank you for it. I honor you. I give you glory for it. Whatever you do this Christmas season, don't go through a Christmas season without knowing the Savior of Christmas. God bless you. I hope you have a good week. I hope you have a blessed week. And I pray that you'll just have a fantastic Christmas. God bless you. We will not be here Wednesday night. We will see you on Sunday, bright and early. Amen. God bless you. Be safe this week if you travel.